WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Welcome back, NHRA fans, to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And if this is your first time that you clicked the link or found the show or stumbled upon us or read about us, well, guess what? You picked the right show to follow along with. We've got some big news happening this week. Huge stuff. That is right. Last week, right after we had Don the Snake Prudhomme on talking about the passing of Raymond Beadle, it was an email went out that there was going to be a press conference. John Force was going to be on the press conference announcing something. What was it going to be? A sponsor announcement? Who knew at that time he would be announcing that Jimmy Prock, his champion crew chief from a year previous, had given his resignation and moved to DSR. Unbelievable, shaking the foundations of the sport. We're going to talk about it on this show. Also on the show, points leader Matt Hagen. He has got the points lead. Force now putting together a team to go out there and run for these final two races. He lost some of his guys. He lost his crew chief, but he's got a brain trust. What does Hagen think about it? Well, we're going to ask him on this show. Huge announcement just hours ago, in fact. Bob Vandegrift, the rumors are true. Dave Connolly going to drive Top Fuel full-time in 2015 for C&J Energy Services, and Bob Vandegrift, as well as Larry Dixon, back in the sport full-time for 2015. Bob Vandegrift is going to tell us all about it, the ins, the outs, the what have yous of the whole deal on this show. Also on the show, he is the Pro Stock Points leader. Jason Line just finished testing in Vegas and is ready for the two-race season that will determine the championship. We will speak with Jason Line on this show and also ask him about this bubbling rivalry with Alan Reinhart and his new Mustang going on. We'll speak with Jason on this show in just a little bit. And Rodney Fagan, the million-dollar bracket race winner, going to be on the show, going to talk about winning $1 million. Now, you might notice if you listen to the show each week that I don't sound the way I normally sound. Folks, I am like a negative 5 on a 1 to 10 scale, but I've never missed a WFO radio show. Never. Not one. Zero. And I figure, you know, I'm going to do the show. Hopefully you can handle it. And if it is just so repulsive that you can't handle it, hey, there it is. You know, I will let the consumer decide. And on that note, let's go right to our first guest. He starts off every show every week. Alan Reinhart. Alan, hello.
Hey, Joe. Great to be here. Sorry you're a little under the weather.
Yes. Well, you know what my big mistake was, right? I went to the doctor.
Okay.
I was healthy. And I figured, you know, I'm 41, I'll go get my physical. You get the physical, they do the thing, they check you out, they make sure you're all right. And I sat in the waiting room for an hour and 45 minutes. Like 48 hours later, sick. Big mistake.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't know that I will be doing that again. It was really a negative thing. I will actually be switching doctors. But I definitely don't feel great, but we're doing the show anyway, and we've got so much big news to talk about. Shocking stuff. What did you think when you heard the Jimmy Prock, John Force news?
Well, I was very surprised to hear originally that, you know, as it came down, Jimmy had planned to run the last couple of races and then make the move at the end of the season. I wasn't at all surprised that John at that point basically said, hey, look, if you're leaving, leave now. You know, that happens in corporate America, basically all over the planet. If I came to you and said, you know, hey, Joe, at the end of the year, I'm not going to do WFO radio anymore. I'm going to go do ABC radio, which is your direct competition. Wouldn't you basically tell me, you know what, get out? And, you know, that's kind of what happened over there. I don't know what happened between the two of them. Obviously, they've had a long partnership together. Jimmy's been with John for years, first on Robert's car, actually going way back first with Gary Densham driving the Auto Club car and then with Robert. And but you know what? Sometimes it's just time to make a change, and I kind of believe that Jimmy felt it was time to make a change.
There are a lot of people, and we got a couple questions queued up for you. One is about that, but I'm seeing a lot of just fan reaction, and you know that we often talk about anything that elicits a fan response is ultimately good. You want your fans talking and battling and going back and forth about their guy's the best and my guy's the best. But I have seen some things that have basically accused Jimmy Prok of underperforming on purpose. And can we put that to bed as ridiculous?
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, Jimmy, he and I have had many conversations over the years when he has at times been struggling. And, you know, he is always innovating, always trying to do something different. He's a big home run hitter. And as we all know, home run hitters strike out quite a bit as well. But, you know, and he has said time and time again that, you know, this stuff ain't easy. And if you want to get ahead and you want to stay ahead and you want to be ahead, then sometimes you've got to go through these learning periods. But, you know, Jimmy would never, ever take a car to the starting line that he would intentionally be underperforming with. You know, there have been times when he hasn't necessarily run to the potential that you would think that the team would have, but it's not that he's doing that on purpose. It's more that he is trying to figure out a way to run even better than he already does. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to take a step or two backwards before you go forward.
Very, very interesting story, and it's going to be cool to see how John deals with it. Clearly, they have a lot of talent over there, so I will be interested to see how they handle it. I wonder, though, you mentioned pretty much with authority that you understand him asking for Jimmy to leave now, and I certainly get that. I get it. But I do think that there is a reasonable counter argument that could be said that you're two races away from a 17th championship. Jimmy wants that too. The guys want that. It helps to have that. You've come this far. Maybe your best chance to get it is with Jimmy.
Well, you could make that argument, and it would be an interesting debate. My personal feeling is, like I said, if you come to me and you say, hey, look, here's my notice, okay, I'm going to leave, whatever, at the end of the season, I'm going to leave in a couple of weeks, and you know, I have my machine shop. If you say, you know what, I've got an opportunity, I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to go into advertising, I'm going to go whatever. Okay, great. You know, come fill out your last couple of weeks or your last month or whatever. Maybe we'll bring in the new guy and you can kind of help him get his feet wet and get acclimated with the way we do things. If you tell me, hey, I'm giving you my 2 weeks' notice and I'm going to go across the street and go to work for another machine shop that's in direct competition with you, at that point, you can leave now. You know, I don't want you absorbing any more of my business, even though John or Jimmy obviously has been there long enough to know everything that's going on. I don't want you coming to work for me when you're thinking about the fact that how you're going to help my competition defeat me coming up in the future. At that point, I think you just make the split. And I also think that it really is a business thing. You know, I think you have to respect Jimmy for telling John straight up, hey, look, you know, I'm not happy here. The way things are going, I need to make a change. I'm going to take another job at the end of the season instead of just going, you know, oh, yeah, things are fine, things are fine, things are fine, and then Monday after Pomona saying I quit. But I think you also have to respect John's decision that, you know, if you're not 100% committed to my company, then go ahead and leave now. The exact same thing happened in reverse last year I mean, exactly the same with the same players. When Don Schumacher went to his key people a couple of races left in the season and said, I'm looking for a commitment for 2014. At the time, Todd Smith, who was working with Jack Beckman's team on the funny car, said, I'm not ready to commit for 2014. I've got some things I'm looking at. I've got some opportunities. I have not yet thought everything through. I'm not ready to commit. I'm not in a position to commit. And Don said, fine, if you're not going to commit to me now, then thanks for coming. You know, here's your severance check. Have a nice day. And Todd Smith went to work for John Force. So it certainly isn't unprecedented. It's business. I wouldn't be surprised if 5 years down the road or wherever down the road, Jimmy Prok comes back into the John Force fold. And we have seen that happen as well. You know, Dickie Venables left Force, came back to Force. Left Force, went to Schumacher. John Medlin left Force, went to Schumacher for a while, didn't find the comfort zone, didn't find the level of success that he was looking for over there, came back to Force, and was welcomed back. I mean, there are not a million talented people out here that can do what these guys do at the level they do, and it's really just business. You know, you look at it like professional sports. If you and your quarterback can't come to contract terms and he leaves and goes and plays for another team, if 2 years later an opportunity comes back to get reunited, if the guy still has the skill set to get the job done and there isn't somebody out there better than him that you'd rather have, it's strictly a business decision. It's not personal. And we've seen it, you know, years over and over and over again. Guys that make decisions based on business, not on personal feelings, and that's, I think, exactly what this is.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, and the press conference was going on, and I was rolling on it, and as soon as John came on and started talking about it, we immediately put it out on WFO within minutes, and it was very good because it got a lot of traction and hits and listens. But what I got out of it that I thought was very interesting, that John was tipped off by Don Schumacher, called him and said, hey, here's what's going on. I thought that was nice.
Well, again, it's business. You know, Don and John on the racetrack are as fierce a competitor as you can get. Off the racetrack, they're businessmen. You know, I think Don would expect the same courtesy if some of his key people are out shopping around for somebody to give him a heads up. And, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs and all the stuff behind it, but I can tell you that, you know, 5 years ago, when Mike Neff left DSR and came to work for Force, you know, Don had let it be known then that he was looking for key people, and if Jimmy Prok were interested, he would certainly be interested in talking to him. And not that he went and, you know, snuck in the back door and had a secret meeting, but let it be known that that's a guy that he would be interested in talking to. So you fast forward a few years, and when Jimmy, for whatever reason, decides that he's looking at making a move, you know, he reaches out to Don and says, are you still interested? You know, Don's not going to just sneak in and steal him away from John Force, so he gave him a courtesy call and said, you know, hey, I just want you to be aware that, you know, here's the situation. And so that prompted the discussion, but I still think it's just strictly a business decision. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm hearing that Jimmy will not be at the racetrack with DSR for the last two races of the season. That he is going to be concentrating on working in the shop and doing that kind of stuff and basically staying out of the championship chase, and then we'll take over whatever his new duties are following the World Finals. And again, I'm not saying that's gospel, but I've heard that from a couple of different places, so we'll find out if Jimmy actually shows up in Vegas or not.
We got a ton of questions on this, but you and I are pretty much answering a lot of the questions. So if you're a WFO listener and you heard your question or voiced a question and you didn't hear yourself, it's because Alan is really covering everything, and I'm not going to make him do it twice. One thing I do want to ask, though, Alan, and this is kind of, I don't know, I guess it's delicate, I don't know, but you're Jimmy Prok, you're guys, you're working stiffs, you're not, you know, I don't know anybody's financial situations, but you have to work to continue to live, and you know that the potential financial situation is in question in terms of sponsorship, long term, who knows. And throughout the season, the point that it is in question has really been driven home by John Force. You know, chasing corporate America, we don't know what's going to happen. He's been extremely vocal that it was in question, up in the air. And can you blame someone, whoever they are, for thinking, wow, if they don't have sponsorship, if they can't come up with something, then my situation could suddenly become in question. Maybe I should do something. I'm seeing people refer to Jimmy Prok as a traitor, and he should have been loyal. And I'm thinking, I heard a lot of stuff this year that would have made me question my own personal income at times as well.
You know, I obviously don't know what Jimmy Prok is thinking. I haven't spoken to him. I haven't reached out to him. I figure he's got enough on his plate that he didn't need me bothering him. I think that's certainly a possibility, but I also think that you look at John Force's history, and he has always seemed to land on his feet. He's always seemed to come up with something. You know, I think I would have enough faith that John would be able to put something together. You know, I don't know if that would have played in the decision or not. I'm saying that, you know, I don't see John Force Racing holding up and going away, and I don't see that job position ending. So, you know, what Jimmy was thinking, I have no idea whether or not that's a fair assessment. You know, again, I just wouldn't have any idea.
And another piece of news that I feel like came out of the John's announcement, and the audio is in our clip section. You can also find it in other places, but we have pretty much narrowed down to the John audio, was he said, you know, I'll paraphrase, but he said he's going to run out of his pocket. He's going to have the four teams, and he's going to run out of his pocket, and if he has to, he's going to spend his own money. That's the first time I've heard him say that.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise to me, too, because he had said before, or at least I had understood before, that he would not do that. You know, if they needed to downsize a little bit, maybe they would, but he would run Brittany's car and not run himself if it came down to that being the financial decision that had to be made. You know, obviously you go through things, you reassess things, and that's where he stands as of right now. Whether that changes between now and when we get to Pomona for the Winter Nationals, you know, who knows? In business, there's just so much ebb and flow. You know, what is your absolute guaranteed, this is what I'm going to do plan right now, could take a left turn tomorrow if another opportunity comes along, or if another sponsor steps up, or if something happens that just changes the equation. So, you know, what you believe to be the truth today may not be the same thing that you believe to be the truth next week, and it's not necessarily being wishy-washy. It's not, you know, the guy can't make up his mind. It's not the guy can't keep a story straight. It's that things keep changing. As of right now, I am not in any way, shape, or form in the widget business. If somebody shows up tomorrow and says, hey, I need 100 of these widgets made, and I'll pay $10,000 a piece for them, guess what? I'm in the widget business. And it's just, you know, that's the way business flows. I know a number of people in the automotive business that started off being in the performance business. Right? We do race cars. We do hot rod stuff. That's all we do. Well, economics at some point determined that, you know what, we need to start doing brake jobs and oil changes in order to keep the company afloat, just because there is work out there and we need to generate the income. We need to generate the cash flow. So does that mean, well, geez, this guy can't make up his mind. This guy, you know, lied to us when he said last week he's never going to do brake jobs. No, it means the economics and the realities changed, and sometimes you have to change along with them. By the way, if you need widgets for $10,000 a piece, I'm your widget guy, just so you know.
And if it's a WFO listener, hopefully we get a taste of that, some sort of, you know, sales commission.
But that's just, you know, in business, realities change, and, you know, opportunities come up. You know, I never set out to be in the announcing business. It was something that I did, you know, I never even set out to dabble in the announcing business. And then when I started, it's like, okay, well, I do a couple of Saturday nights a month at the local racetrack out here. Well, pretty soon that turns into every Saturday night at some racetrack somewhere, all, again, still local. And then years down the road, I make my living now as a professional announcer, voiceover person, but that's not something that I ever did. If you had asked me when I was in high school, what are you going to do for a living, that wouldn't have even been on the list. But just opportunities present themselves. You take advantage of opportunities, more things come up, and it is, you know, it is a flow in any professional business. You know, John obviously is in the racing business. He never set out to have four race cars. It just, the reality is, opportunities came up, and this happened, and that happened, and here he is. You know, you look at a company that's like NHRA. NHRA, when Wally Parks founded it, never dreamed that he would be in the racetrack business. But over the years, opportunities come up to buy Atlanta, to buy Indianapolis, in a couple of cases to save racetracks that if NHRA didn't step up, they might have gone away, and all of a sudden NHRA finds itself in the racetrack business. That wasn't part of the original business plan. That wasn't part of the original dream. It's just something that happened and something that you have to adjust to along the way. You know, John right now is in an adjustment period, and I don't think he knows with 100% certainty what's going to happen over the course of the next 2 or 3 months by the time we get to the Winter Nationals in 2015. So it's just it's an ever-changing landscape out there right now.
Your comments bring up a perfect opportunity to play one of our questions, this one coming from Craig in Seattle regarding Pacific Raceways.
Hey, guys, Craig from Seattle, Tuesday morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock out here in the Northwest, getting ready to start my work shift. Hope everything's great with you guys. Hey, a little bit of a concern out here. I don't know if you guys have heard. I'm sure you've heard, Alan, about the track being sold. As far as I know, what I've read, everything for next year's, you know, it's set in stone, so all the races are going to go down. But after that, it's kind of up in the air. Big concerns out here. I mean, you guys obviously go to a lot of the nicer tracks, and we've been lucky to go to a lot of the nicer tracks, but this track is the only one we've got, and it's the only one that holds a national race, and some of us are kind of freaking out here that we're going to lose our race and lose the track. Have you heard anything? The only thing I've heard is an IHRA group wanting to buy them, and I think that would suck too, because I don't think the NHRA is going to race an IHRA track. At least that's what I understand. But anyways, don't know if you've heard anything or not, but big concerns up here for our track. So anyways, you guys have a great week. Can't wait for the Vegas race. WFO, P.S. Joe, the shirts are great.
Pacific Raceways.
Well, you know, obviously I've heard that the track is for sale. I haven't heard really anything other than that. I know that there are at least some questions being asked and some interested parties. What will happen there, I have no idea. If IHRA does buy it, I can assure you that NHRA will not run a race on an IHRA track. That's the only thing that I can tell you for absolute certain. You know, that would be kind of like Kmart having a parking lot sale in Walmart's parking lot. It just ain't going to happen. Hopefully, somebody will come in and take it over. Hopefully, you know, the track will continue. Obviously, there's a lot of history up there. I like the Seattle racetrack. You know, I like the fact that NHRA races on facilities from, you know, you take a look at Charlotte, you know, which is known as the Bellagio, one of the obviously nicer amenities tracks and just everything about it. And then you take a look at New England Dragway, which has a lot of history there, has the old school feel, but it is a very enthusiastic group of people up there that support the New England racetrack. It's a terrific community. It's a great market. You know, the Seattle track is certainly not as flashy or shiny as Las Vegas, but they still have a ton of history up there. There's a terrific core fan base up there, and as Craig mentioned, it's the only NHRA national event in Division VI. Hopefully it will stay there. Also, the fact that, you know, NASCAR is not in that market. IndyCar is not really in that market. They get, I think, Portland is about as close as they get. So being the major motorsport cornerstone up there, obviously they run the hydros out there on the water, but, that's an important thing for NHRA. You know, would NHRA consider stepping up and buying the track? I have no idea. Guys in offices a few floors above me are the ones that make those decisions, but I certainly hope that whoever does end up with the ownership of the racetrack, it continues to be a racetrack, and I hope the community up there in Seattle and in Canton and the surrounding areas kind of rally around it and want to keep the racetrack. You know, it's very easy, and we've seen it a number of times, for legislatures and some of the vocal opponents of a racetrack to, you know, jump on a bandwagon, get a little bit momentum, and if the race fans don't stand up and be counted and don't, you know, fight back, for lack of a better term, they can get overrun. So hopefully the racing community will start making some noise up there and, you know, let the local legislatures, the local lawmakers know that, hey, look, this place is important to us. This is something that we want to keep. This is something that we need to do something about. And, you know, the a friendly business environment and a friendly local government would go a long ways towards somebody wanting to come in and either buy the track or make an investment. You know, if you look at why all the race teams are in Brownsburg, Indiana, it's because the local government gives them tax incentives, gives them breaks, helps them out, does stuff to lure the business there. The businesses come in, they hire local people. Obviously, they pay a lot of taxes in that area. They sell a lot of homes in that area. Everybody that moves to Brownsburg to be part of the race team now is involved in the community, and overall, it makes business sense. You know, there's always going to be somebody that complains, oh, you're giving tax breaks to a millionaire race team. Well, that's true. But, you know, this millionaire race team, you know, John Force Racing has, what, 150 employees that all have houses, all have families, all shop in that area, all pay taxes in that area, and the end result is a win. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll all turn out on the upside, and we'll just have to wait and see, but I really don't have any inside information.
It is a bit of a bummer, but you never know what will come out of it. Sometimes positive opportunity. And speaking of opportunity, and this is where we'll end off before we talk Vegas, Bob Vandegrift, he's going to be on the show. He's going to be talking about Dave Connolly. That rumor has been bubbling for a while, and it's true. Dave Connolly, Larry Dixon, 2015, what a team of drivers Bob Vandegrift has assembled.
That'd be very interesting to watch that team. You know, the birth of possibly a new super team. Somebody posted the other day, actually I think it was Kevin McKenna, said something about the worst kept secret, and I went, that was a secret?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about it for months. I know, but, you know, great that Josh Comstock is stepping up. He's, of course, the CEO of C&J Energy Services. Reading some of the information and some of the, you know, that Bob has been able to do Josh a lot of good in some business-to-business contacts and, you know, bringing clients out to the racetrack. And there's so much a part of, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff that a lot of the average fans probably don't see. You know, I don't know how much business Levi Ray and Schaup generates from being a part of, from being sponsorship on Tim Wilkerson's car. I don't know how many people see the logo and then get in touch with Dick Levi's company and say, hey, okay, I want to spend a bunch of money with your company to take over all of my, you know, all of my technical stuff and internet stuff and all that stuff that I have no idea of. You know, I'm grateful when my email opens up. But I know that they use the race team to entertain clients and to do business. And if you have, you know, WFO Radio spends $5 million a year with Levi Ray and Schaup, so when they race in Florida, Dick Levi says, hey, Joe, bring all your key people out, bring all your guys out, let's have a nice weekend. And it's almost a little, you know, team-building retreat, and that's where the return on the investment comes from. And I think Josh Comstock does the same thing with his race team. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not calling C&J Energy Services and saying, okay, hey, come help me in my oil field because I saw your name on the side of a race car. But if that's one of the perks of doing business with C&J is, hey, coming out for a day at the races with, you know, 40 or 50 of my key people or 200 of my key people, then that is where the value of sponsoring the race team comes in. Bob Vandegrift, if nothing else, he is very good at business. He's very good at building relationships. And he has been able to make that work from bringing in a lot of sponsors that are new to NHRA drag racing over the years. And, you know, tip of the cap to him for starting off with a little bitty deal and turning it into now a full-blown two-car team. I think that's wonderful.
And Larry Dixon back full-time. I can't help but just think that's a great story. So many fans for so long. I get so many emails about, hey, what's up, Larry? And now he's back.
I think it's kind of interesting, and I haven't spoken to Larry yet. I'm looking forward to doing that. Hopefully he'll be in Vegas this weekend. If not, I may just reach out to him. But, you know, from being on the road all the time and doing all the stuff and getting so used to it, and then coming off the road and getting an opportunity to just be dad, you know, to get to go to all of Alana's events and get to go to all of, you know, Luke's games and all of the, that, you know, he has really enjoyed having some time at home, and maybe he's just decided it's time to get back out there again. But I look forward to seeing him back on the track full-time and look forward to seeing what that two-car team can do. You know, an alliance with DSR certainly is gonna help them from a performance standpoint, and it'll just be fun to watch.
All right, let's talk Vegas. Obviously, the two points races, two final races of the year. Vegas, Vegas, Pomona starts this weekend. Big autograph sessions. Las Vegas really embraces the NHRA when they come to town. There's going to be plenty to do, folks. Of course, hit the legendary Peppermill. You will enjoy it. But let's talk points. Top Fuel is pretty much all intents and purposes over. Tony Schumacher is the man. Funny Car, can Force recover from this?
Yes.
He's got the guys.
I don't know. Does he have the capability? Absolutely. You know, there's too many good people over there. There's too many, you know, obviously Mike Neff is going to take on a little bit bigger role with the two cars, both John's and Robert's. But if you're writing John off because of Jimmy Prok leaving, that's a mistake. You know, as John has shown over the years, when he's got his back against the wall and comes out swinging, he can accomplish an awful lot. So it'll just be a matter of wait and see. You know, Matt Hagan obviously is in the best position right now, and they need to just not make mistakes and keep the momentum going. But that one I firmly believe will go down to Pomona. I don't think we're going to know by the time we leave Vegas whose name to put on the trophy.
And we're going to hear from Matt Hagan coming up in a few minutes, folks. We're going to get hit the opposite side of the coin, hear what he has to say in a few minutes. Pro Stock, Jason Lyne, going to be on the show. Jason, Erica, Dave. Dave, all of a sudden racing with kind of a new attitude. Final year in Pro Stock.
Yeah, Dave's in it with almost, you know, nothing to lose at this point deal. Of course, Dave Connolly is just, you know, he's such a natural behind the wheel. We've talked about it over and over and over again. You know, that whatever the it is, he's got it. And, you know, whether he's got enough time with the two races left, you know, the big thing that Jason needs to do, and I know that they went out and did some testing in Vegas and wanted to make sure that that they're ready to go for a number of reasons. I mean, one, it's Ken Black, the team owner's home track. You know, Summit was a big part of the Vegas event for so long, and that's a big deal for them. But with the points on the line right now, Jason needs to stop giving away all of the 3-2-1 points. Erica and her team have made a living in qualifying by being low of every session, by being number one qualifier, by picking up all those little bitty points, and Jason needs to stop giving all of those away. So we're going to find out real early on, and I'm talking about qualifying session number one, if they're able to put themselves in a position to capitalize on some of those. And if they are, Jason's in a pretty good position to win his fourth Pro Stock Championship.
And the all-hog matchup.
Third Pro Stock Championship.
Eddie versus Andrew.
Yeah, those guys are just going to kind of like have at it, I think. Those guys are a team in every sense of the word, and I don't think I've ever seen two guys that are genuinely more excited about the team winning, whether it's me or him. You know, when Andrew wins, Eddie is just as happy as he is when he closes the deal, and vice versa. You know, they're an all-for-one, one-for-all kind of deal. You know, they work on each other's machines. We'll just have to wait and see who ends up taking home the big trophy at the end of it. Right now, I think if I had to bet, I'd bet on Andrew. But, you know, we'll see. One little miscue on the starting line can really open the door for the other one. So if Andrew doesn't make any mistakes, then he's in great shape. If Andrew makes a little mistake, I think Eddie will capitalize, and it'll go down to the wire. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, I can't wait. It's going to be great. I'm going to be listening on the NHRA mobile app. I'm going to be all over it. You guys are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it all go down. Vegas, Vegas, Pomona. I did get one question, though, from one of our listeners emailed in about your Stang, since we've been covering this over the past couple of weeks. They wanted to know, like, what kind of tire is going to be under this thing? Is this a pro touring car, or is this like a pro street car? Or, you know, what kind of tire are you going to be running on this thing?
It is not a pro touring or a pro street car. It is a loud, obnoxious, fun street car. Right now, it's got just a basic, I don't even know what size it is, just a basic, you know, 10-inch wide or 10.5-inch wide street tire. When it goes to the track, I may put on some kind of a drag radial, or I may put just like a stock illuminator, you know, a 9-inch or 9.5-inch wide slick on it, just when I take it out to see how fast it is. But it's not, you know, it's just going to be a weekend, fun, loud, obnoxious, hopefully fast and fun to drive car. And, you know, as long as it's faster than Jason's station wagon, I can have the second I can have the second slowest car in the world as long as the slowest one is Jason's station wagon. So that's the goal.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I happened to bring this up to Jason, considering it has taken a life of its own. Let's take a little listen, because I question whether this thing is going to happen. That's my thing. Is this going to be all talk, or is this going to happen? Listen to this.
Alan, he's a bit confused, so but it's going to be fun. It's absolutely going to happen.
So Jason says it's going to happen, Alan.
Oh, yeah, we'll make it happen. That's a non-issue. You know, I'm not sure when or where, but, you know, mine, I actually, the motor is in my car now. I set the motor in the car to stay yesterday. So I've still got, you know, quite a bit of work to do. I would very much like to. I kind of got sidetracked yesterday. I don't know if you saw the story on NHRA.com, but I got invited to go on the Summit Racing Armed Forces Appreciation Tour over in the Mideast, which is going to happen at the end of the season. The Summit guys have been doing it for the last few years. Eddie and Andrew both go. Greg and Jason both go. Dan Runty, who drives the Bigfoot truck. And I got invited to go this year. So I spent yesterday kind of running around doing some paperwork. Had to get a couple of immunizations and some other stuff out taken care of. So that put me a day behind. But the plan for the Mustang is, before I leave the shop today, needs to have the clutch in it, the transmission in it, the headers on it, and then when I get back, because I don't come home now until after Pomona, and then I'm only home about a week before I leave on this Armed Forces Appreciation Tour, and then at that point I've only got about 10 days before Christmas, and it has to be running by Christmas, so I'm sneaking up on it, making ground, but yeah, it's definitely going to happen, and like I said before, Jason's car is cooler than mine. There's no doubt about it. But mine's faster than his, and, you know, like somebody famous once said, we're talking about a drag race, not a car show, so mine's going to be faster.
This is just so great. The listeners love it. It's a lot of fun. Jason Lyon going to be on the show in a few minutes. Alan, great job. Hope you have a lot of fun out there in Vegas, and the season has certainly been packed with drama, and just judging by all the autograph sessions and all the cool things that are going to be happening in Vegas, and then, of course, the points meet Vegas again, and then Pomona, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy it. Have a great time. And I'm, you know, who knows what will happen. There's certainly a lot of options. It's going to be great. Thanks for coming on our show.
Joe, always a pleasure. I'm hoping I can find some time for some fun in Vegas. I've got, I really have a jam-packed schedule, and that's not a complaint. You know, being busy is definitely good, but hopefully I'll be able to sneak in some time to maybe play a couple hands of cards or do some other stuff while I'm there, and we'll know for sure in 3 weeks how it all wraps up. The Vegas Divisional is going to be as much fun as the National, though. We're talking 700 cars, and, you know, for anybody that's going to be in the neighborhood, if you like division races, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of November is one of the biggest division races of the year, because guys literally come from all over the country to try to either win or lock up regional championships, division championships, or national championships, and it's three jam-packed days of racing. So come on out and enjoy it. And I don't know what it will be, but I can tell you that Las Vegas always does some kind of a ticket special. If you're at the Nationals, hang on to your ticket stub, and it'll do you some good coming out, save you a few bucks, or do something for you. Like I said, I don't know exactly what it's going to be this year, but they always have some kind of special thing for the divisional race if you're a national event ticket buyer. So if you're coming out, plan on coming out and spend a little time in Vegas. It'll be fun, I promise.
Great job, Alan. Thank you very much.
All right, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt starts us off each week right here on WFO Radio. If you're new to the show, you have picked the perfect time to click this link and find on, other than the fact that I am totally under the weather, and my deepest apologies, honestly, I apologize greatly for the way that I sound this week. And as I have said in the past, and I will say it again, there are two options. There are nothing. No show, I just do nothing, or there is me struggle through. And the listeners have over and over again in the past said, and please email me, yeah, Joe, don't do it, or, yeah, struggle through. But they have always said to struggle through, that they would prefer hearing from the drivers. And we're going to do some great stuff this week. We've got Matt Hagen coming up next. Think of all the stuff that's going through his head right now. He's got the points lead, two races to go, getting ready to race again, and his rival, his competitor, they have battled for the championships multiple times in the past, is going through a total change at his team. We've got Bob Vandegrift, who's bringing a new driver into Top Fuel, Dave Connolly, and Larry Dixon, a three-time world champion, back. How cool is that? We're going to speak with Bob Vandegrift. Jason Lyon is going to come on, talk about his championship run in pro stock. Can he do it? They just had a test out there in Vegas. How did it go? And, of course, we'll banter back and forth with the Reinhardt Mustang situation. And Rodney Fagan, the million-dollar race winner, going to join us as well. Talk about winning $1 million. How cool is that? So if you're new to the show, hopefully you enjoy it. I don't sound this way every week. I sound different. And the racers are the stars anyway, so it doesn't really matter. We had Don the Snake last week talking about the passing of Raymond Beadle. That is in our Clips archive. We have the John Force audio of the Jimmy Prock announcement that got us a lot of traffic last week. Thank you for sharing that. When we come back, we're going to hear from Matt Hagan. You are not going to want to miss it. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, one of our great sponsors here. You can give him a call, 866-480-7223. The Dragster Adventure. It's a course that is specifically designed for drivers that want to drive a dragster without the huge investment becoming a licensed race car driver and going out and competing. You get a taste for it first. 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, speeds of 130 mile per hour in the quarter mile, and even the possibility for side-by-side racing. It's perfect for an individual. We've had WFO radio listeners do it and love it. And if you're the adrenaline junkie, if you want to do bungee jumping or something like that, this is right up your alley. This is a total bucket list thing, because when it comes to adrenaline, acceleration, that feeling of, wow, nobody else gets to do this, driving a dragster is one of those things. You got to try it. And Frank has made it possible for you to drive the car, not just ride along like with somebody else and you're just kind of riding next to them. No, you're doing it. And you're working with Frank, which for me is probably the biggest part of the deal. This guy's a two-time Funny Car World Champion. He is one of the most acclaimed drivers in the business. Think of the great stuff you will pick up being near Frank Hawley. It is the Dragster Adventure. Who is a good candidate for it? Well, anybody, any individual, but also groups. If you have a sales team, if you have a group of clients, if you have a bachelor party, if you have a group of guys that want to do something cool together, this is what you want to do. You will enjoy it. 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO. 866-480-7223. Or go to frankhawley.com, read about it, check out the schedule. They've got all kinds of programs. But if you want to get the taste of why so many are so interested in this sport, the cockpit of a dragster is the way to find out. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com. We'll be back with Matt Hagan on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order, and there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
What is this?
This is WFO Radio.
You are Matt Hagen'd out, head to toe, diehard Matt Hagen.
Well, I needed a hero, but I just couldn't find one. One that met my standards, that I thought had it all. Everything about him. Plus, he's the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life.
Matt Hagen, Shirley Muldowney approved.
Hi, this is Matt Hagen, 2011 champion. You're listening to WFO.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, getting ready for a little Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
That's right, the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series back in action. Finally, after several weeks off, we get to the exciting conclusion of the 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Championship. We got to get hype. We got to get ready. We got ready to rock and roll, and we're going to do it by talking with the Funny Car Points leader. Joining us now, Matt Hagen. Matt, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Hey, thanks, brother. I appreciate you having me on the show. Been enjoying this break.
Have you? I was wondering how you felt about it, having taken the points lead by 36 points and then having to kind of take a break. Was that good? Was it bad? Was it both?
Well, it's good for me, man. I farm at home and got another job. I actually got two other jobs at home with that Matt Hagen Outdoors and farming and family and everything else. So, it was great to catch my breath this last couple weeks and spend a little QT with the kids and do some baseball stuff and, also some hunting with my boy and different things like that. But we're getting a lot of farm work done as well. So, yeah, I've been staying busy, man. But, it's kind of cool. I mean, you get to read what all these fans have to say and stuff like that. And I tell you what, man, it's definitely not a popularity contest out there, because if that was the case, they'd have handed, John the trophy a long time ago. So, it's one of them deals. I'm just glad it is a drag race. It comes down to who has the best car and who has the best team and who's doing the best job out there right now. And as of now, our team is. We're leading the points. So there's a lot on the table. There's a lot to do, and there's still a lot of racing left. But, John's got 16 championships, man. But I'll tell you what, something I got is the same as John is the talent and the desire to win. Because I don't care if it takes sitting on a practice street for hours. I don't care if it takes watching video critiquing myself. I don't care if it takes talking to sports psychologists about having a mental edge, man. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this thing. And in the future as well. John's got, like I said, 16 championships, but he's also been driving as long as I've been alive or longer. And, I got a lot of catching up to do. I'm coming after my second one this time.
You're on the internet reading what the fans have to say, Matt. I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's just nice, neat to see what they have to say. I mean, obviously everybody on the net is a John Force fan, so you know, not everybody, but the majority of folks are.
Sure.
And, you know, it that drives me. I mean, I'm, you know, the haters and the different things and the comments that a lot of people make, it drives me to do well, to be better, to, you know, go out there and win it, just so you can kind of say, ha-ha, you know what I mean? I mean, it's you got to have some motivation, and I dig it up listening to all the negative comments, man.
Well, I think that aspect of all sports, baseball, Yankee fans and Red Sox fans, in football, Cowboy fans and Redskins fans, like, that has to be present. If it's not happening, then your sport is not healthy.
No, I think it's great. It definitely, you have to have people that love you, and you have to have people that love to hate you, you know, and for me, that's what gets it done, man. I mean, that's what puts that burn in my belly and the drive in my rear end to go out there and work harder and try to work, you know, as hard, if not twice as hard as the person beside me, you know.
So, obviously, last week, big news occurred after we did our show. Last week, we focused on, obviously, the passing of a funny car legend, Raymond Beadle. I'd love your thoughts on that. But then a day later, there's an NHRA press conference, and John basically announces that his team, not all of John Force Racing, but his particular car, Jimmy Prock, several of his crew guys, have resigned and moved on, and since then we learned that Jimmy has been hired by DSR, et cetera, and so on, putting them in an awkward situation, John Force's particular car. How did you hear about that news? Did you hear it in real time? I would imagine working in the office, you might have heard something going on, and how is that piece of shocking news affecting your mind state? Because suddenly your opponent is not really at full strength, but still very devastating.
Well, I don't know that you could even say that. I mean, you know, I got to find out about the news. I guess one of our PR folks called me and said, hey, Jimmy's walking around our shop. You know, I heard Force let him go. And, you know, I said, no way, man. I said, that'll never happen in a million years, you know. And it's one of those things where it kind of caught me off guard, and I'm sure it caught a lot of people off guard. But, you know, I understand both sides of it. You know, Don's done the same thing with other crew chiefs. He's let them go if they're not going to be there 100%. Just like Todd Smith that won the championship with Jack Beckman and Force hired him and took him over there to tune his car. No different than you know, Don hiring Jimmy to come work at DSR. You know, and they fire him in the middle of the season or right there at the end. I think both of them were fired in the countdown, you know, or let go in the countdown. So it's not something that's just, you know, one side or another. It happens both ways. And so after I did find out the news, you know, I wasn't too shocked. I was like, wow, you know, I guess things do happen and things change. But, you know, you also have to understand that in this world of racing is very cutthroat. It's very, you know, you don't know how long your run is out here, and you have to look out for yourself. I mean, obviously you have to look out for your team and the folks that have helped you get there, but you have to take care of yourself because nobody else out here will. And I think that's just what Jimmy's doing. He's you know, setting himself up for the future with a company and a team that has some longevity out here for sure. And nobody can blame him for that. I mean, he's got a family and kids and, you know, a wife and you know, they have a future as well, and he's just trying to do the best job for them. But, you know, whatever he decides to do or wherever Don decides to put him, I'm sure he'll be a huge asset to DSR. We're glad to have him. You know, I think that he'll bring a lot to the table. But right now, we have to focus on our race car. We can't worry about Jimmy Prock or John Force or Mike Neff or anybody like that. I mean, you know, we have to do what's in front of us, and that's control what we can control. And that's, you know, I can't control what John is going to do. I can't control what his team is going to do. I can't control what Mike Neff is going to do. But I can control what's in front of me, and you have to minimize that. And you cannot look at this huge big picture. You have to just look at the small things and focus on what you have control over. And when you do that, it really makes a difference as far as, you know, taking the pressure away from you and realizing that, hey, I can do this. I've done this all year. I'm a great lever. I'm a great driver. I got a great team and a great crew chief, and they're making great decisions. But, you know, I'll also say this on the flip side. You know, after John Force last year, you know, we had a great run all season long, you know, and our team led the points pretty much last year for the majority of the year, almost all of it except for right there at the end. My crew chief, Dickie Venables, got sick there in the countdown, and at the last race, I mean, he ended up having, you know, emergency surgery where he had, you know, they cut his gut open and put him back together, man. So, I mean, he was sick pretty much the whole countdown. Not taking away from anything that John did, because he drove his ass off and he did a great job, and Jimmy put a great car in him. But, you know, my crew chief is healthy this year. He's hungry, and I can see it in their eyes, and I can see everything that's just kind of rolling into place. And all we can do is take care of that. But I'll also say on the, you know, this, you know, did anybody expect for assistant crew chief that had never tuned a race car and, you know, only put a clutch in the car before to come out and whip, you know, John Force to win in Pomona in the finals after they crowned him a world champion, you know, and a guy that's been on a tear last year. So no matter who John has driving for him, they have the notes, they have the data, they have everything that it takes to go out there and win races. You know, we just have to, while we have him down, we have to step on his throat, because John's that type of guy that if you give him an inch, it's like getting in a fight at a bar or something. You know, you hit the guy in the face and knock him down, and he keeps coming back for more. And you're like, man, what's it going to take? So you cannot give John any opportunities to go out here and do well. So we have to make sure we're solid these next two races and go out here and win a, you know, a championship, number two, you know.
It is interesting to think about. Clearly they have a lot of talent over there, and I could see being lulled into a thought of like, well, they're out of it, but they are not out of it. And they got a second car that is right there as well with Courtney, who is no slouch herself and clearly very, very hungry. I like what you have to say about controlling what you can control. How did you come to that understanding?
Well, I've been in this hunt pretty much the majority of my career. Four out of the last 5 years I've been battling for a championship, you know, with John, actually. You know, that's all I've known. And, you know, at first you get so excited and worked up and looking at everything and counting points and doing this, doing that. And you just, you sensory overload, man. You just, you know, you got to calm yourself down and say, okay, I have in front of me that I can control. What is at my disposal here that I can make this team better? And, you know, and there's only a few things, you know, I mean, leave on time, keep it in the groove and turn the wind light on and, you know, put the parachutes out and stop the thing. So, I mean, it's not that, you know, crazy, you know, I don't need a, you know, I'm not a brain surgeon. So, I mean, obviously it doesn't take that to do it. So why do I want to put more pressure on myself to go out here and make it more than what it is? I mean, I've been doing it all year long. So why change that routine now? You know, it's, you know, I know there's a lot online. I mean, all of our guys know there's a lot online, but they have to just do their job. And if they do their job, the other guy beside them is going to do theirs, and it'll all take care of itself at the end of the day.
You mentioned the championships. I brought it up just the list because it has been very interesting. I remember years ago when you, it wasn't that long ago, but you kind of emerged on the scene. You gave John a helmet with horns on it as like kind of like a gift, but a respect, token of respect. I took it as. And you guys battled down to the wire in 2010, and he wins the title over you. And there were some shots on ESPN of you kind of immersed in the moment of disappointment. But the next year, in 2011, you came back and won your championship, and so you got on the board. 2012 was the year that we have spoken about several times on this show that was like the missed opportunity to back up. You just had a year that was just not a great year for you. You felt a tremendous disappointment. Jack Beckman goes on to win the title over Caps. 2013, last year, you led the points. It was like the huge resurgent comeback year. You became this really imposing figure. And then in the countdown, John just goes on this run that was just tough to deal with. You did win the final race. And then here we are, you leading the points. So you guys, the two of you, have really been mixing it up over the past 5 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's great. I mean, there's not a lot of guys in their career that can say right off the bat they've been on a championship hunt the majority, almost the entire time of their career. So it drives me. I mean, I think John brings out the best in me, and I bring out the best in John. And, you know, we get up on the wheel and try to drive hard. But, you know, it's about the people you put around you. I mean, I've had great crew chiefs. And you know, when we won with Tommy DeLago, the year we didn't back it up is, you know, he'd made a decision midway of the year that he was going to make a change. And, you know, his focus wasn't where it needed to be. And, you know, he went over with Coletta. Don't blame the guy. Just like I was saying earlier, Tommy was looking out for himself, his future and his family. He's now engaged to one of the general managers over there. And, you know, I wish him the best, but things happen in life and you have to adapt to it and you have to change. And John will do the same thing. You know, I mean, you know, this is big news about Jimmy Brock, but John's a fighter. He's tough. We're all competitors. And, you know, him, I know what him and Mike Neff are capable of. They're capable of winning the thing, you know. So we cannot give them any room to breathe. We have to go ahead and have a solid race in Vegas and do our job. And the rest will take care of itself. So I'm really excited about it, you know. I mean, we've been in that championship hunt. And yeah, you know, I get a lot of slack over that, or a lot of crap, really, just so to speak, over that, you know, that first year when John beat me in 10, you know, and everybody said, man, you know, you sit on there and you pouted like a baby and you cried. Well, you know what? The thing about it is I wear it on my sleeve. What you see is what you get. I don't hide nothing. I don't try to fake nothing. All I know how to do is sell me, man. And so the thing about it is when we lose, you know, I mean, you put it all in it. It's all on the line, you know. I don't know of anybody that's a competitor or has competed in any sport that likes losing, you know. And, yeah, I understand you have to learn to lose well, but, man alive, when it's that much on the line, it is really tough. I mean, until somebody's been in that situation to be there, to have that opportunity, they have no idea what it's like to lose a championship or, you know, and the millions of dollars that are invested in the time and the energy and the blood and the sweat and the tears that it takes to get you there. And, you know, so, I mean, yeah, I get those comments and stuff, and I hear that. And you're just kind of like, man, that just drives me because it is what it is. I would, like I said, all I know how to do is sell me, and what you see is what you get with it. And I'm not going to change. You'll either love me for it or you'll hate me for it. So, I mean, it's good stuff. I love it. And I think it makes our sport exciting. We need some drama. We need some rivalries. And I think me and John got a great rivalry going on.
I agree. It is fun. Matt, is there a lot of over-the-top negative energy out there on the internet?
Well, no, it's not that. Force has done a great job creating a fan base. I mean, he's been out here for 45 years. I don't know how long he's been driving, but a long time. And you sell a lot of T-shirts along that way, and everybody likes dealing with winners. I mean, that guy's been, he's a 16-time world champion. So you expect for everybody to kind of root for John because they pulled for him for so many years. You know, he's dominated the sport. But I tell you what, he knows we're here. He knows we're here to do our job, and we have a real opportunity to win this championship. So negative, not negative, I understand fans. I mean, they love you or they love to hate you, you know, and that's just part of it. So I'm not really so much worried about that as much as it drives me. It really makes me want to do better just to say, hey, yeah, he's a 16-time world champion, but, you know, I'm two-time and I'm coming for a third, you know.
There.
So I definitely want to win my second one.
There you go. Matt, I appreciate you coming on the show. Headed to Vegas, of course. You guys usually have extra autograph time and things going on, DSR-wise and otherwise, in Vegas. What do you guys got going, if you know off the top of your head? If not, we'll read it at the end of the show. And dealing with Vegas, I know it's not a distraction for you, but I think it might be a distraction for me.
Well, I'm not going to take a whole lot of money with me, put it that way. But, I mean, we got, we're comped up over at New York, New York. We're going to do the Fan Fest over there on, Thursday night. And, you know, do all that kind of deal there. All the drivers and all that kind of stuff will be there. So that's really cool. And, you know, but I'm staying at a little place next to the track, that's low key, you know, and get some rest, focus and do my thing. You know what I mean? So, it's going to be neat. It's going to be nice, and I'm excited to get back out there. But the biggest thing is I want to thank our fans, you know, that support us and support our sponsors. I mean, well, without our sponsors and without our fans, we can't do this. You know, with Rocky Boots and Magneti Morelli and Mopar and all the folks that go out there and buy their products day in and day out, and because we are drag racing and they love drag racing and they're going to support us, I just can't say thank you enough. So, I mean, that's where it's at. We were going to put on a great show. I know that a lot of fans, a lot of Force fans are worried about this Jimmy Proc thing, but we're both competitors. We're both, you know, showmen, and we're going to put on a hell of a show for these fans. So it's going to be interesting. It'll come down to the wire. There ain't no doubt about that. It always does because of this countdown. So let's go have some fun. Let's go mix it up and turn some wind lights on.
Matt, congratulations on a great season to this point. It's basically a two-race season now. It's going to be very entertaining to watch. I wish you the best of luck. Thanks for coming on WFO and talking about it.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, brother. We'll see you out there.
There he goes, Matt Hagan, with us here on WFO Radio. Matt Hagan leading the points in Funny Car. Got John Force and Courtney Force right behind. And I love his attitude. He is not thinking about anything or anybody but himself. That is how winners win. It'll be very interesting to see how it all turns out. Big thanks to Matt Hagen for coming on WFO Radio. Coming up, Bob Vandergriff, retiring from driving, hires Larry Dixon and Dave Connolly to go full-time. C&J Energy Services, the sponsor, two-car team and Top Fuel, that is very exciting for 2015. When, how, who, why? Bob's going to answer all those questions coming up in just a few minutes. You are absolutely going to love it. Then later on in the show, Jason Line. Jason going to talk about having the pro stock points lead and having to run up against Dave Connolly in Dave's final year of pro stock, which could be very, very interesting. Dave, a last ride in pro stock. Got two races to go out there and win the title. We're also going to ask Jason about the budding, bubbling rivalry with Alan Reinhart. Of course, you heard that audio clip early in the show. And then right at the tail end, we're going to speak with Rodney Fagan. This guy is a bracket racer, gets a call, shows up at the $1 million bracket race, wins it, of course. So stick around. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. Also, the archive is chock full of audio. You got the John Force press conference audio that changed drag racing overnight last week. Got Don the Snake Prudhomme talking about the life of Raymond Beadle. Lots of great stuff going on WFO Radio the past couple weeks. People have really been sharing the show. I greatly appreciate everybody who supports our program. And speaking of great supporters of WFO Radio, time to talk about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Let me tell you, this show would not have happened if not for Rodax Coffee. You know that's how I start my day, but some days are harder to start than others, and this was a real tough one. Well, you get in there, you get the coffee ground up, you put it in, bang the blower, next thing you know, you got some energy, you're ready to rock. And that's how we got this one done. So, hey, Marvin, thank you very much. And if you want to talk to Marvin, 817-924-6821. They're taking orders by phone of over 40 single original coffees that they have, plus custom blends like Bang the Blower and the WFO Radio Blend. They represent the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world. And each order is roasted per order. So it's not sitting around roasted. You order it, then he roasts it, so it's fresh as can be. They've got limited edition, seasonal, rare micro lots, farms that just make 10 sacks of coffee per year. He's got them, and they've got the exotics as well, like the Sumatra Kopi Luwak and the Panama Geisha, the Australian, the Puerto Rico, the Hawaii Kona coffee, Jamaican. They have it all. That is on the coffee side of things. Now, on the hot sauce condiment side, I am absolutely loving everything that I have tried. I recommend it to you, too. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Let's face it, the winter is coming. You want to make sure you can get a little of that flavor. So the barbecue spice rubs. Maybe you do some marinating. Maybe you check out some of the recipes on the website. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They've been in business since 1976. And Marvin prefers you give him a call. 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard him talking about you on WFO Radio. I want you to send me something good. And he will. 817-924-6821. And oh, by the way, Marvin is going to Texas Motor Speedway to watch a little NASCAR. How cool is that? Big racing fan. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, for the full version of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
The stars of drag racing, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Eddie Krawick.
I'm at the point now where I'm very confident. You know, some people may say it's cocky or whatever. I feel I'm very confident. And I think the only way I can be beat is if I beat myself. But the key thing is as we said earlier, all I want to do is just kick ass, you know, and that's the way it is.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Get ready for
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Vegas, baby. Vegas. Just two races to go in 2014. Can you believe it? We are down to the wire and all kinds of news announcements being made about the 2015 season and beyond. And joining us now, had an announcement early this week about a two-car team for Bob Vandegrift Racing in 2015 featuring Larry Dixon and, yes, the rumors were true, Dave Connolly, here to talk about it, Bob Vandegrift Jr. Bob, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So the rumors about Dave were out there for a long, long time. I think you did a good job managing that. Yeah, you know, we'd like to, but that's a long way away. I think you did well with that.
Well, it's hard whenever you start talking about things to keep them under wraps. And really, in the grand scheme of things, it really didn't matter. We knew where we wanted to go, and we knew who we wanted, and in the end, that's where we went.
Excellent stuff. Let's start, I guess, at the beginning. When did you realize that you wanted to segue to a new role instead of an owner-driver out there competing on your own, going into that owner-management role with two drivers driving for you instead? When did you come to that conclusion?
Well, that's actually been the plan for quite a while. You know, we've had a plan in place for the last few years. With another driver to, you know, take my seat. So it's been a direction we've been planning on, and unfortunately, we had a change of direction earlier in the year when that driver went in took another opportunity. So we had to kind of drop back, reevaluate, and then, choose a new direction. But, we're excited about that. I'm really excited about the drivers we have for BVR in 2015. You know, Larry Dixon, there's not a lot of resumes in a sport like the one he possesses. So it's pretty impressive for us and for BVR and to have someone like Larry driving for our program. And then to bring on Dave Connolly, who I consider one of the best, if not the best natural talent in our sport, to take my seat. I'm excited. I mean, geez, to have those two guys driving for BVR, I can't wait to get started.
It's one of those things where I look at it and I think you just never know how things are going to turn out, because when it all went down with JR moving and you guys were kind of like, oh, man, what do we do? If this was going to be the result, if we knew that then, you might have said, all right, but you couldn't have known what was going to happen. It's just kind of a, I guess, a metaphor about life.
Well, you know, in the end, it turned out well for us. You know, my disappointment, displeasure would have been the same just because of the other factors that surrounded, you know, that other decision that left, you know, JR out of our program. So, people don't understand, and you know, it's really none of anybody else's business other than mine and JR's, but, you know, there was all the circumstances behind that that people won't see on the surface, that are pretty much more my disappointment than anything. But, you know, I don't, you know, that's a great opportunity for them, a great team over there, and on the surface you'd have to look at it as a good move for them. But like I said, there's other things that went in behind that, that are really just behind, you know, between JR and I, and, so I think it had been disappointment and, you know, unhappiness all the way around. But like I said, in moving forward, it forced us to change directions, and I'm thrilled really to have the guys we have involved in our program now. And, you know, it's recharged my batteries a little bit. The last few months I've been, going 180 miles an hour. My guys know they haven't heard from me or seen me much because, we've been working on things to make our program bigger and better. And that stuff's all finally come together.
Very cool stuff. Crew chiefs Kurt Elliott and Mike Guger are going to remain in place?
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely the direction. You know, those guys, you know, Kurt's shown the ability that he can run with anybody. We've had a little bit of a down year this year, but it's kind of been some of the factors that we had. We've kind of had a, you know, a vision of where we wanted to go, and we tried some equipment that we knew it was either going to be a home run or a strikeout with us this year, and unfortunately we had some of the equipment that we thought was going to be great turned out to be not the best, and led to a lot of catastrophic failures and inconsistency with our race car, and so I don't think you've seen the best of what Kurt Elliott can bring to the table yet, and I think we're going to see that in 2015. And you know, Mike Guger, I mean, God, the guy's a lifer. He lives and breathes drag racing. He deserves a shot at this, and I've been pretty impressed with what he's been able to do in a, you know, part-time basis. It's hard to do that. You know, it's hard to run a car 1 week and then sit out, you know, a month and then run it again. And, but when he's brought that car out, it's been really fast. He just needs a little more experience on learning how to manage it. And, I think he's going to get that, you know, real fast. And I'm excited about what he brings to the table.
Both guys have shown they can really put up a number on the board. I was lucky enough to sit next to Kurt on an airplane, and you know, that's where you find out all the great information.
And
yeah, what an intellect, though. What a drag racing intellect. And he got me up to speed on some things that have benefited me just in my job duties, and I could see that he felt confident at the time about the program and what was possible. So now we got two cars full time in 2015.
Yes, sir. And like I said, we've seen the values of the two-car program last season for BVR by putting both cars in the countdown. And those were our expectations would be for 2015, you know, to could jump right back into that and be, you know, one of the top teams out there and have two cars capable of trying to not only get in the countdown, but to be in a position to, you know, win for a championship.
Dave Connolly, you mentioned, and my apologies for, I'm a little under the weather today if I sound very different, but Dave, you mentioned one of the great pure drivers in our sport, and you have identified that many people have. Dave gets in something, and he wins. He could have been out of the sport for a year, and he wins. His U.S. national success is exemplary of that. But not really a fuel guy. You wouldn't, not a lot of people, myself included, never would have thought, yeah, Dave is going to be in a nitro car. I always just pictured him maybe winning a pro stock title, which he may this year, and just racking up sportsmen and statistics in like the Cobo Camaro stock, super stock, and pro stock. What made you notice, hey, this guy who is a standout sportsman racer, door slammer racer, this guy could be good in the nitro cars?
Well, I think when you get out of the car, you know, you look for the best candidate out there to replace yourself. So when I sat back and looked at, you know, who was out there, you know, what could be brought to the table, what would be the best person to put in this car, you know, it becomes a pretty short list in my opinion. And I sat back and thought about who would be the guy that I would put in this car that I think would be the best. And, you know, Dave Connolly, after watching him, like you said, great sportsman racer, jumps in the pro stock class, and you know he's shown how good he is in that car. So obviously he gets the you know gets the top of the list as far as consideration. But then in talking to him and just seeing his personality and his drive to want to win and be the best, and just watching how he takes care of his business in that car, you can see his natural ability. So I think his transition is going to be seamless for him. I think he's going to jump right back right into that car and take it to like a duck to water and really be an outstanding driver in that class. And, you know, he'll have a learning curve. We all did. You know, he's got, and Larry Dixon and myself, he's got 40 years worth of experience of driving top field dragsters sitting there. So I'm sure if there's a question that he has or a situation that he's going to face, you know, we've all had that. So we'll be able to help him out, you know, real easy.
Was he surprised when you first broached the subject? Like, I'm sure you guys said hello and talked at the track every now and again, but then one day here you are with this potential opportunity. How did that go?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it really happened on the West Coast swing. I just came back from a vacation in Mexico with the CEO of C&J, and we talked about our direction and what we were trying to accomplish and where we were going to go with it. So I'd had a week or so to contemplate who I thought would be a good candidate, and I actually just bumped into Dave in the hotel in Sonoma and said, "Hey, you got a minute?" And he said, "Sure." And we sat down and started talking, and I ran it by him if he'd ever had any interest in driving a top field dragster. And you know, I think his first thoughts were obviously a little bit of shock because probably wasn't something that you know he thought was on the radar, but. As he thought about it, I think he realized that for his career and advancement and, you know, if he wants to make a career out of, you know, drag racing, that's the next logical step for him. So I think as he thought about it, he got excited about it and, you know, and seeing his excitement got me excited about it. And really after discussing it with him, I didn't look in any other directions. I knew he was my guy.
Very cool. And I also think, and this is just a guess, but there are a lot of sportsman racers and fans of sportsman racers that are going to immediately become Connolly fans, just hands down.
Well, I agree, and I think that, you know, looking back at seeing some of the successes of the guys that have graduated from that, you know, kind of racing into the fuel ranks, you know, is another thing that gives credibility to our decision. You got to remember those guys that come up with that background have probably sat on that starting line a million times. Or somebody like myself, you know, that's only driven a top field dragster, you know, you might get 4, 5, or 6 shots a weekend at it. So you can't beat experience. You know, like I said, he's got a million laps down the drag strip. And that's what I'm saying. I think that all that, it takes, you know, comes into play. I think his success and those other classes are going to come into play, and just his natural ability is going to be, you know, a big benefit. So, like I said, I think he's going to take to it no problem, and we'll find out. We do have a deal with him on Monday after Las Vegas. He's going to make his first, you know, initial hits in the dragster, and we have a deal with him that he's not allowed to take off his helmet or get out of the car until we all get down there, because we just want to see his face when he gets out of that car for the first time. So I don't care what you've driven before. That's always a shock to your senses. So I'm excited to see it. Like I said, it's recharged my batteries a little bit and trying to build a new program, and I'm excited for him to get started.
Will your drivers be required to run back to the starting line if they win an event?
You know, that's up to them. They may have to put their own little spin on it, you know, but, you know, that's a great thing for us and our program and for people to know about it. The fans love it. I can't go to a race without somebody coming up and talking to me and asking me if I'm going to run back on Sunday, you know, so... it's great. It was one of those things that I always wanted to do, and, you know, it'd be awesome to see one of those guys do that, though. It'd be a kick.
This is a feel-good story for a couple of reasons. Obviously, Dave, and he's popular, getting a new opportunity, and anytime in drag racing there's something fresh and new and something new that implies growth, that, hey, we're moving forward, that's great. But at the same time, I think a lot of people have felt, myself included, that one of the real negatives was not having Larry Dixon out there for consistently for this period of however long it has been, because clearly, you already mentioned it. Larry's resume is one of the best. He is a great personality. He is extremely well-known outside of NHRA world, like NASCAR guys and IndyCar guys. They all know Larry Dixon because of his championship pedigree and the years he spent winning in the big spotlight. And the fact that he didn't have a ride was just like, what's wrong? What's going on? This just doesn't make any sense. Why can't this happen? And for you to basically knock two problems off with one announcement, that is very cool. Talk about your champion driver, Larry Dixon.
Well, you know, like you said, an unparalleled resume. I mean, other than Tony Schumacher, that's current in our sport, there's not a resume like that. John Force and Funny Cars, obviously, but very few resumes that compare to that. And it gives credibility to our program. Like you said, he's very well known, has a huge fan base. The executives at C&J hit it off with him right away. They really liked him. So, when you sit down and look at what you're trying to do with your program, where you're trying to go with it, as far as putting him in the car, it was a no-brainer. He's a great family man. His personality fits in with our team and myself. We have a lot of, started our careers pretty much at the same time. So we have a lot of characteristics that are the same. So, for me, it was an easy decision to put him in there he's a benefit to our program to have him involved.
And C&J Energy Services, got to mention those guys because they have been supporting you for a while. I was watching CNBC today, watching the stock ticker go by and thinking, wow, those guys support drag racing. That's cool. Not really the kind of sponsor, though, that me, the fan, Average Joe, can go out and support. But in your press release, which I thought was very well crafted, it explained how being involved with you and with drag racing has been of great benefit to this oilfield services company, and they obviously want to do more.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. That's the question that gets asked a lot is, what's an oilfield services company doing in drag racing? But what you saw from the press release, it's been a perfect marriage for both of us. We've been able to bring companies that we're involved with to them, for them to benefit, with their business as far as savings, better pricing, and better products. So they've seen a benefit from that side. They've received new business. We've entertained a lot of their customers that have come to the races that have turned out to be even now bigger customers of C&J. So they've seen the backside of benefit of that as well. And like I said from the beginning with C&J, that company is like a family to us. The executives are part of our family, the employees are part of our family, and vice versa. It's not just a sponsor or race team relationship. We've grown with them. We've been there from the start. We've helped each other kind of achieve our goals. So for me, it's been exciting to see that company, grow the way they have, and some of the stuff that's still on the horizon for that company is huge. And to be part of that for someone like me who's interested in the business side of it has been really exciting.
And for those who did not read the release, it's basically networking. It's networking. You hang with Bob, you're meeting some big time people, and they,
Yeah, well, we've done the B2B stuff for them and provided them, better, help on their supply chain operation. We've provided them some better pricing through some of our relationships on products that they needed to buy, and we've made some introductions that have turned out to be beneficial to them. So everybody wins. The companies that we do business with have gotten new business that they wouldn't have got. C&J has received better products and better pricing, and then we've received the other benefits and sponsorships. So it's been a win-win all the way around. I think that's the model that a lot of people in drag racing that are looking for sponsorships need to adopt is the B2B platform, and look at that a lot harder than the impressions and branding and all that other stuff.
Absolutely. Bob, I know you're super busy, and I will let you go in a second. Couple of final questions. Is there a years, like is this a two-year deal or a three-year deal, or is it a one-year deal? Like, can you announce that this will go on for 3 years, or has that not yet been decided?
Yeah, no, our direction is for long-term, and then we definitely have a three-year plan in place right now, and really we're just trying to decide the best way to approach that, whether it turns into 3 years or 5 years or 10 years after that, we'll see. But we definitely have 3 years where the plan's in place. From the BVR side, we've made a technical alliance with DSR to purchase equipment and some of their technical expertise, access to clutch dynos and blower dynos and things like that I think is going to take our program to the next level, and I'm excited about that. It's hard to compete with those super teams when you're not on an equal playing field, and I think we've made some decisions now and moving forward that are going to put us on that same level ground with them.
Regarding Connolly, is there any point when running a top fuel car that he will also be able to drive a Copo Camaro?
Yeah, we're looking at that. Like I said, I think the more times down the racetrack, the better. I don't have any problem with that. I think that's an exciting class. I think really it's one of the few things in drag racing that's come in recently that's brought some excitement that's good for the sport. So if he can do it, it doesn't interfere with what we're doing with the top fuel teams, you know, more power to him.
That would be very exciting. All right, now you're not getting off the hook, though. You got two races left to go, and I know you want to win one of these two, act as a spoiler in many ways for, you know, championship countdown. You know what? I'm taking that all back because the championship in Top Fuel is pretty much mathematically secured. So you want to go get that Wally. Talk about Vegas.
Yeah, you know, we've won in Vegas. It's one of my favorite tracks. But, you know, we've won a race the last 3 years. We're down to our last two to give it a shot, you know, to do that this year. So, Pomona's my home track. I grew up 20 minutes from there. So, either one of those places would be great for me to win. And, I think it'd be a pretty good story though if I could go out with a bang and win that Pomona, my home track and last race. And we're going to have, I think, close to 400 guests from C&J and their sister companies. So it'd be one heck of a weekend to go out like that.
You could run right up the starting line, right past the tower, right to the taco stand and order a taco.
Actually, I'll run right to the golf course. I'll just keep going out there. Somebody can meet me there with my clubs, and I'll finish it off by playing a quick nine.
Bob, congratulations on this deal. It's very cool to watch you. I remember seeing the Jerseys car out there when you emerged on the scene, and I always love when new people invest in the sport and then have success and then grow to this level. I think you're going to really excel in this role, and I don't think you could have come up with better people as drivers, both character and talent. And I am very excited to watch what you guys are capable of in 2015. Best of luck in the remaining two races of your Top Fuel career. Thanks for coming on WFO.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Vandegrift with us here on WFO Radio. What a blockbuster announcement. I know the rumors have been circulating, but it's not a done deal until it's a done deal, and it feels like a done deal now. Dave Connolly, Larry Dixon, two big stars, Top Fuel, full-time 2015. Very cool. And I love hearing the inside stuff. I think Bob gave us a lot on that interview. Thanks to Bob for coming on the show. And maybe they will run. If they run each other in the final round, they will both be required to run back up the track. Wouldn't that be cool? I wish them luck. It's going to be very, very cool. Thanks to Bob for coming on the show. We still have Jason Line and Rodney Fagan coming up on the show. Rodney won the $1 million bracket race we talked about last week. We had the Snake on the show. We had John DeBartolomeo on the show. We ended up talking about the $1 million bracket race. Well, we got the winner. Going to find out about his event. But first, we're going to hear from Jason Line. Jason's going to talk about his recent Vegas test. How did it go? Running for the Mellow Yellow Championship in 2014 to secure his third in Pro Stock, and the budding rivalry between himself and Alan Reinhart. All interesting things to discuss with Jason Line coming up next on the show. But first, I want to tell you about the WFO Radio t-shirts that are now available. The WFO Radio t-shirts are flying off the shelves. I want to thank all you listeners who are getting the shirts, people in the industry and listeners, and the fact that you would be rocking one of our shirts is just so cool. It's a little weird, actually. It's a little bit weird because I see these shirts and people are taking photographs and tweeting them at me and saying, like, look at me, look at these guys, look at my daughter, look at my son wearing the WFO shirt. And it's like this whole new understanding of what we're doing. We get in, we come in here, we do the show. Our Ignition show is something we have a lot of fun. We're very proud of. We've got the new Tom Patsis-designed Fantasy League trophy that the winner's name will go on. So many things going on here around WFO Radio. But seeing WFO Radio listeners wearing their shirts out there in public, I think it's a whole nother gear to what we are doing. And I really want to thank you for doing that. So get one. go to the WFO Radio store, WFOradio.com. They're $20 plus shipping. We'll mail it out immediately because I know you want it. There is a limited stock. So if you want one of the first-run WFO Radio t-shirts, get yours today. We'll be back with Jason Lyne right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to Rodax Coffee and Grills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodax, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
WFO Radio. NHRA Nitro. Nitro. WFO Radio. Now, back to WFO Radio.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas. Two races to go in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing season for 2014. And perhaps none of the championships as close and as tight as Pro Stock. Joining us now, the Pro Stock points leader, a two-time champion himself, Jason Lyne. Jason, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
So you guys had a test in Vegas. How'd it go?
Well, I didn't hit anything, so that was good. actually, it went pretty well. So we've had worse tests, I can tell you that. So I feel like we're ready. So we better be. Time is here.
A two-race season is basically what we're talking about. If I told you in January, hey, Jason, you'd have two races and a 35-point lead over your next closest competitor, I'm guessing you'd be pretty happy with that.
You bet. Absolutely. I mean, I've certainly been in way worse positions than this with two races to go, so I'm pretty excited, actually. So we've got a great team and great folks behind us, so it's all good.
I think our audience is interested in knowing, as much as you can tell us, I'm not talking about, like, speed secrets or anything, but over this break, this break has been pretty long. What has it been like? Is it like a round-the-clock, a search for horsepower, trying to find everything that may or may not work, or is it refining what you have to make sure you have a flawless next couple of races? Where has the emphasis been during this period?
Well, the first 2 weeks we worked real hard trying to get something better. We had some stuff we've been working on for a long time, and the last 2 weeks have been a little more, I'd say last week, has been a little more relaxed, and I actually took a couple days off, which is certainly not normal for us, but felt like I needed to just to get my head as it can be. So it's been really kind of nice.
Very, very cool. Your closest competitor, Erica Enders Stevens, 35 points. You know she's a fan favorite, obviously, and brings a big media spotlight along with her. She's a very hungry driver. Dave Connolly, 51 points back. His final year in pro stock. That's news that we talked about tonight on the show. What do you think about Dave going to Top Fuel?
Well, as long as it's a good move for him, I'm happy for him. Unfortunately, we'll certainly miss him in the pro stock ranks. He's a fierce competitor, to say the least. He's a great driver, and I've always gotten along good with David. So, like I say, wish him well, and hopefully everything turns out good for him.
So when you hit Vegas at the end of this week, I know that you racers, you look at it as a working environment, so the bright lights and everything do not easily distract. But there is a lot going on. The city embraces the sport, autograph sessions and whatnot. When do you go into race mode and start really ramping up your focus and intensity?
Friday morning. Yep, definitely Friday morning. So I get there Thursday morning, and I got a press conference to do with an HRA and a couple other things, and we have autograph session on Thursday night, but Friday morning you have to get your game face on because every run counts. You know, obviously the little points in qualifying are a big deal, and we haven't done a good job of getting those lately, so we need to do a better job of that this weekend. So Friday morning it's all business.
Chasing a third title, it's anytime you can win multiple titles, it's a big deal, but three really sets you into another group of extremely elite racers and people who have been involved in pro stock over the years. Clearly, you want to go out there and just execute right now, but when you compress the season to just two races and have to perform, like you said, every run getting those qualifying points, it makes it very interesting for all the fans and the fans of pro stock. I maintain that this countdown has been one of the best for pro stock.
I think so. I think it's definitely been the best from a fan perspective. But, yeah, I've never been a huge fan of the countdown, but it does add some excitement and a little more pressure, and that was the whole purpose of it. So I'm old, so I don't like pressure, but it is what it is, and, you know, you just got to rise to the occasion, do the best you can, and there's been times where I have and times where I haven't, so it's one of those things, but probably as I get older, my attitude and my perspective changes slightly on it, so I welcome the challenge. It is what it is, and got to make the best of it, and it's not supposed to be easy, and it's definitely not going to be, so but it's going to be exciting no matter what.
It will be very interesting, and I appreciate you talking about it with us here on WFO. Now, there is something else that has been kind of bantered about on WFO radio for the past couple of weeks, and it is this, like, kind of new Allan Reinhart Mustang versus Jason Lyne station wagon themed event that may or may not happen at some time in the future. And I'll tell you what, it's capturing the imagination of our listeners.
Dude. Well, I laugh. Alan, he's a bit confused, so but it's going to be fun, and it's absolutely going to happen. I asked him if he was going to be angry with me if I had people ride with me, and, you know, if they're waving at him when we're ahead. So he I told him before, he's obviously confused about who my sponsor is. So he's got a tough task ahead of him. I'd rather be racing Erica and Dave Conley for the championship than I would be being in his shoes trying to race me. So I think he's in trouble.
Really? See, now, just in terms of weight and physics, though, his car seems so much lighter, Jason.
It is lighter. No question. In fact, I may put it in the back of my wagon before we go race and haul him there. So there's a huge difference in cars. It's going to be a lot of fun, and probably more fun for me than him.
Wow. Well, that you definitely did nothing to tamp down expectations here, which I greatly appreciate.
Well, normally I'm not overconfident, but in this particular case, I mean, I've seen Alan drive. I really feel like I have the upper hand.
Are you suggesting that the limiting factor may be in the driver's seat?
He may run out of talent somewhere as he enters the burnout box, but we'll see. I don't know. He's a self-proclaimed bracket racing ace, so I guess we're going to find out.
Wow, this is just tremendous. Well, first things first, obviously, the Mellow Yellow Series requires your attention, but somewhere down the road, I look forward to seeing this happen. Everyone is very interested. I guess the first thing is that Reinhardt's Mustang has to get on the track. Jason, thank you very much for coming on the show. Best of luck in the next two races.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Jason Lyon with us here on WFO Radio. Got that points lead with two races remaining. And we're going to find out this weekend what it's going to look like going into Pomona. And I love the barbs back and forth. The barbs between Alan and Jason and the wagon and the Stang and the Chevrolet and the Ford. And the WFO Radio audience is taking sides, and it's definitely going to happen. And I'm loving it. Of course, you know, me, I do not have any kind of a dog in the fight. I'm sitting back just like watching, kind of wide-eyed, like, wow, is this really going to happen? And it sounds like Jason is into it, and it clearly is going to happen. Alan is working hard, and we shall see. Another one of the reasons why you're going to keep checking back on WFO Radio, how very cool it is. But sounds like the KB Racing guys are ready to rock and roll. You know that Dave and Gray Motorsports are going to be ready, and Erica Ender Stevens and the Elite Motorsports people are going to be ready to go. And Pro Stock, I think, is as interesting as it has ever been right now. Only one can win the title, and we are going to find out this weekend who has got the upper hand. Two races to go. Thanks to Jason Lyon for coming on the show. Now, last week, we were speaking with John DeBartolomeo about his new project, Drag Racing Scene, and we just had a conversation about a lot of different things in the sport of drag racing, including the $1 million bracket race, which was this past weekend. And John has set us up with the winner. Get this, folks. He goes out there, doesn't bother with any of the other races, any of the other activities, shows up morning of the $1 million race, makes one hit, goes out, wins the race, gets the job done. Talk about a tremendous story. This is the most significant bracket race on the planet, most likely, and he gets it done. Joining us now, Rodney Fagan. First time on WFO Radio as a $1 million winner. Rodney, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Well, not as good as you is the answer.
It's still sinking in.
I can't imagine. All right, you race in Georgia. Let's do a little background on you. How long have you been bracket racing? I see you were driving a car for Philip Ridgeway, but this was your first time at the Million. Had you considered running it before, and why hadn't you run it before, and what made you run it this time?
I have considered running it before. I always wanted to. Just it never happened, and had no plans to run this one. I wasn't even coming over to watch. I got a phone call from Philip Friday night, and he asked me to come drive the car. So I showed up over there Saturday morning, and everything went perfect all day long. Couldn't ask for it to go any better than it went.
I can't imagine. Now, normally, like, racers go there, they set up, they do the warm-up races, the 20-granders. They're heavily involved with all the activities. You skipped all of that. You showed up, got one time shot, and just went racing. And now that you're looking back, do you think that might have been an advantage?
I really do. I think it may have been. My mind was completely clear. I hadn't been thinking about it, worrying about it, because as far as I knew, I wasn't even going to be there. And it just went so smooth, it was unbelievable.
Had you driven Phillip's car many times in the past?
I've driven it quite a few times. It's a great car, and I love to drive it and hope I can drive it some more.
I think you probably have earned that opportunity. Just a guess. Tell me about your day. I mean, how many rounds did you have to go to win this thing?
Nine rounds.
So for the listeners out there, think about it. Nine rounds to win this race. Over the course of the day, I mean, we could go your round by round. I'm sure you probably remember them very vividly. But generally speaking, what was your best reaction time of the day?
Absolutely, it was the perfect reaction time in the finals.
You had a perfect light in the final round. Talk about saving the best for last. Who did you run in the final?
Cecil, I'm sorry, I can't think of his last name right now. He was from New Mexico. I talked to him. He's a very nice fella, and he had a story to tell too. He had a brand new car delivered to the track on Wednesday. He never raced it, never sit in it, and went to the finals of the Million. First time he entered that car in the race.
That is a great story. Over the course of the day, what about your toughest race or your closest margin of victory? That one that maybe you're like, wow, I got lucky to get through that, or that was a close one.
I was able to trust the car so well the whole day. I can't remember which round it was. I run a dragster down 468, and he went two over. But I went down and lifted on him, and almost didn't knock enough off because I was over 006 on the tree and went down there and went dead on with a one. And I thought I had scrubbed a little more than that off, and I really needed to try to cut that a little more close. So that was really a round I had a great package and stuff, but it didn't have to be that close, and I was like, you know, just a few thousand from breaking out. So that was one I was glad to get by.
And what kind of car? I should ask you this at the start. What kind of car is Phillip got you racing?
It's a 92 Lumina. It was built by Mayfield Race Cars, and he only had this car a couple of years, but it's been fun to drive.
And what kind of ETs?
We were running in 537, 539 all weekend.
Very interesting. So this is 2 years in a row now for the Door Slammers at the Million.
Right. That's right.
That is, I'm wondering, are we seeing some sort of trend going on? I know they run them separate for several rounds, but when you get down to those final couple of rounds, everybody runs together. And it looks like the Door Slammers have got like a legit shot. That's good news for a lot of us, especially people like me who've got a Door Slammer in the garage.
Right. Yes, sir. Me too.
So final round, you let go of the button, perfect light, win the race. Wind light comes on, and 24 hours earlier, you didn't know you were really going to be racing, or you were just figuring it out. And now you have won the $1 million race, the most significant bracket race on the planet. Tell me about that moment.
Oh, it's just a dream come true for me. I mean, I'm so thankful for Randy Folk and the whole Folk crew that put the deal on, and Jim Highwood and Brandon, everybody at Montgomery Raceway Park. It was just, I mean, I'm so appreciative of everybody and the people that come and congratulate you. And it's just the whole event and everything went great. It was just awesome. And it's, I mean, I'm ready to do it again.
Well, I would imagine. There's a couple of guys who have won it twice. You could go out there and be one of those dudes. Rodney, is this going to change your life in a way? I mean, in terms of financial, I'm sure it's going to be very, very helpful. But is this the kind of thing that's going to put you in a new trajectory? There's a lot that can be done with that kind of cash infusion.
I don't know, sir. It will not change anything. I was at work Monday morning, so doing the same thing I always do.
Do your coworkers understand what you did?
Yeah, they do.
They have an appreciation for the significance of it?
Yes, they do.
Well, that is very, very cool. Rodney, congratulations. A tremendous deal and a great story alongside. There are so many guys out there who, the story is, this is all I do. This is my full-time job. I was out here. I ran every race. I did everything, and I went out and won it. This is a little bit unique, the fact that you showed up, got one hit, and went out there and won it. Great story.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and it was just... I still can't believe it. It's a dream come true, and I was just along for the ride, it seemed like, and I was glad to be there.
Well, absolutely, and thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio and telling your story to our audience. I'm always trying to convince the people that are like Mellow Yellow Series fans who listen to my show to hop in there, whatever they got, streetcar, whatever it is, find their local track, and just try some bracket racing. They don't have to get all serious like you do or some of the others, but just try it out. What would you say to them, Rodney? You just won $1 million. What would you say to them to try to entice them to go out and participate in this hobby?
It's a great hobby. I got my son involved in it. Really, our whole family. It's just one big family. And there's good people. It's fun. It's a great sport and a great hobby for anyone that's got any interest at all in it. Just try it.
Simple as that. Just get out there and try it. Rodney, thank you so much. Congratulations on your $1 million win, and thank you for coming on WFO Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Rodney Fagan, $1 million winner. Right here on WFO Radio. You remember Johnny D. It depends on the amount of entries and the amount. And sometimes they split. And do I want to get into any of that? No way. When this guy's typing up his resume, does it say $1 million bracket race winner? Yes. And how am I coming up with that? Because that's what I would do. If I won the $1 million bracket race, I don't care if it was 220 or 190 or 300 or whatever. Did I enter the $1 million bracket race? Yes. Did I win it? Yes. Am I the $1 million bracket race winner? Yes. Did I win the million? Yes. Does it feel cool to say it? Yes. Did I actually do it? No. But Rodney did. And that's got to be pretty cool, waking up knowing that you accomplished that. A very cool story. Another door slammer. That's two years in a row, maybe longer. The door slammers. Huh, what's up with that? Kind of interesting. And Jason Line before that, very, very cool. And folks, normally at the tail end of the show, this is where I go in depth into some sort of very deep and well thought out philosophical discussion about the sport of drag racing and the points. But today, it's just not going to happen. It's a miracle that we made it this far, frankly. I'm very under the weather. I want to get well for our Ignition show, which happens on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Thank you very much for putting up with my... just sounding horrible. I often listen to talk radio and I hear a host who is ill or sick, and I say, you should have just taken the day off. There's a difference with WFO Radio. WFO, we have a core of listeners, and the day that they go to listen and there is nothing there, I'm letting them down. And I've asked them, I said, hey, listeners, it's either going to sound terrible like this, or it's going to be nothing. What would you prefer? And the overwhelming majority, landslide, we're talking 90 percentile, says do the show and we'll deal with it, which I appreciate. But what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up right here. Big thanks to Matt Hagen for coming on the show and laying it out there. Kind of interesting, fire burning in his belly to win this title. He knows nothing that happened with Force has anything to do with us, which is a great attitude. We'll see how it all works out. But he also knows, that John Force is the guy that when you think he's down, he's not down. He knows that, so he's not going to be caught off guard. Kind of interesting. What a battle. Big thanks to Bob Vandergriff for just laying it on the line, just telling you, the drag racing fan, everything I think you need to know about that whole deal, even that Dave can still drive the Copo Camaro. You know, one question I didn't ask, and I felt a little bad, but my excuse is I'm under the weather, is, all right, what's the goals? What are your goals? Championship by when? But, you know, that's an unfair question. Come on. Expect to win the title in, 3 years. You're supposed to have goals, but it's pointless to say things like that. Go out there, put the team together, and see what you got. That's the way I like to work. And then Jason Lyon, of course. He's in the middle of it. I like to hear that he took a couple of days to himself. And then Rodney, the million-dollar winner. Very, very cool. All right, that's going to do it. Hey, pick up a WFO Radio t-shirt. Go to the WFO store, click on it, buy a shirt. You'll love it. I'll be the one to put it in the envelope. Of course, I throw some stickers in there. Hey, you want some free WFO Radio stickers? You could either send a self-addressed stamped envelope to WFO Radio Stickers, Castello Media, P.O. Box 848354, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084, like Mike Burke did. Or you can buy a WFO Radio t-shirt and I'll throw them in there anyway. Either one works. One, you get stickers. And the other, you get a t-shirt and stickers. Either one works. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Thanks to Alan Reinhart for starting us off right. Great analysis on the John Force, Jimmy Prock situation. I have some more thoughts. I'll throw them in next week. But right now, it's time to go get pharmaceuticals. I will see you tomorrow, 8 p.m. Wednesday night. Ignition. We're going to talk Dale Jr. victory, baby. Dale Jr. victory at Martinsville. He's got the clock. This is the best thing for Hendrick Motorsports. I think there will be a raucous debate in the WFO Radio studio about that. Have a great week. Enjoy the show. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else? Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.